This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app right now. Again, if you're in Nevada, you can stop by an MGM property, bring your state-issued ID, and you're ready to bet within minutes. You got to be 21 years or older. It's BetMGM.com for more information. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. As we welcome you back, Friday edition of the Lombardi Line, proudly presented by BetMGM. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. As we welcome in, it is a Friday, and Fridays equal a party. And when I think of partying, I think of Vinny Maliulo, the Hall of Famer from behind the book there at the South Point. What's cracking, Vinny? How are you?
Hi, Vinny.
What do you say, boys? Everything is good, very exciting. Another football weekend, but also highlighted by the South Point 400. NASCAR weekend here in Las Vegas. Big race weekend.
Vinny, how do they do that? Where do they hold the race at, and how does it work?
Yeah, good question, Michael. So the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, which is, I want to say about, not quite 20 miles north of where we are here at the South Point Hotel Casino on Las Vegas Boulevard. It's out north on Interstate 15 at appropriately named Racetrack Road, and so folks have been out there actually most of the week. You know, NASCAR fans travel. They're as loyal a fans as anybody. And we know about tailgating in football. But let me tell you something. There's some serious tailgating going on at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway for the South Point 400 all week long. Tonight is the there are several races. Actually, tomorrow is the Xfinity race. And then on Sunday, the South Point 400, which is one of the Cup Series playoff races. So very exciting, and a lot of business for NASCAR. So this is actually, and I don't think it'll surprise people, it's our biggest race handle, our biggest write of the year, particularly with the race being here, and that facility can hold in excess of 100,000 people.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, Michael, the big news is our very own Brent Musburger is going to be the Grand Marshal of the race coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's going to broadcast his countdown to kickoff right after the Lombardi Line before kickoff on Sunday from the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So that's awesome.
Hey, by the way, guys, I get to go out there tomorrow. I do a betting seminar out there tomorrow, and I give away tickets, but not tickets for the race. They're not admission tickets. I give away actual bets on the race to folks that are in attendance. We talk a little bit of how to bet, a little bit of a 101 for people, and explain how the betting works. And South Point generosity on display as folks they can just answer a few questions, have a little fun, a little interaction with the bookies, and they get some free bets out there tomorrow. So tomorrow morning at 10:45.
Well, that is quite benevolent of you, Vinny. Were you equally benevolent last night? It was a snoozer of a game, but from a gambling perspective, we don't care about the entertainment value. Where'd you close? Did you have Washington 1.5, and did that total start to climb right before kickoff?
Yeah, we were not as benevolent last night. We couldn't give them away. Couldn't give away the tickets on the game last night, Patrick. No, we did close the game 1.5. Not really. Not a lot of action on the over. I thought there might be some late action on the over, but not really. So right around 38.5. That total didn't move that much. Bears did open as a 1-point favorite here at the South Point, but it was mostly Washington money. Did wind up grinding out a little bit of a profit between the Bears Commanders game and the couple of college football games last night. So, but it was I tell you, it was not pleasant to watch, but certainly better to have like we talked about last week, better to have NFL football on Thursday night than not.
Well, it's that over kind of. You know, somebody was going to have to get the 20 at least to get that over in play, and then somebody else was going to have to get to the high teens. You know, 21-17 gets you a push. You know, it never looked like it was going to get there. I mean, even last week when they played the Titans, what it was at It was 21-17. That's a 38 push. Mm-hmm. They played Cowboys. That's 25-10. That's a 35. Well, Philadelphia is 24-8. You know, I mean, this team can't score points, and the other team might, but they don't give you any help.
Typically, the lowest total on the board, Michael, was the lowest total on the board. Even the halftime last night. Now, they did bet the halftime a little bit from 18 to 18 and a half, but of course, that didn't get there either with a 9-7 second half total, 16 points in the second half. Now, it looked like it was going to get there at the end of the game with the Bears' last possession, but of course, we know that didn't happen.
What bettors watched that first half and said, you know what I'm expecting here in the second half? Points.
No common sense, right? Like, yeah, exactly right. Like, oh, there's no, I feel it. I sense it. It's going to be points, you know? I mean, you got fourth and goal from the one-inch line, can't get it. I mean, it's just, to me, oh, boy, that's bad. I would have taken the points no matter what in that game because it looked to me like points were going to be, just from my novice, I mean, points were going to be a premium there, right?
100%. Now, the antithesis or the opposite of that would be the late window, Buffalo, Kansas City. Let's talk about this. It's the game of the week, maybe the game of the year, Vinny Maliulo. And my question for you is, did you get to three with Buffalo at Kansas City, and where are you now?
2.5 right now off the two-point opener, Patrick. Will it get to three? I think a lot's going to obviously depend on not only the betting on this game, you know, how things play up to it during the morning games and leading up to it. So no shock here. This is the highest total of the week at 54, and this game the total is being bet over from 53. So definitely the highlight. You know, you look at this game and you say, I really wish it was the primetime game. But the primetime game on Sunday is a beauty as well. You know, we've been talking about how lackluster Thursday nights have been, but you look at these two games, the last two games on the rotation on Sunday, you've got the Bills Chiefs, as you mentioned, and then you got the Cowboys Eagles in primetime too. So these are going to be, it won't shock anybody, but these will be the two biggest games in terms of handle of the weekend.
Vinny, we've seen the line in Philadelphia, it opened at 5.5. I don't know where you opened it, you and Chrissy opened it, but it went to 6 and now it's at 6.5. I mean, has that been the way it's been at the South Point on the Philadelphia-Dallas game?
Yeah, Chrissy, Chrissy comes on Monday morning, does guessing lines with Gil Alexander, and then puts up the numbers opened, the number here at South Point at 5. And it's been a steady stream of Eagles money. It's up to 6.5. Now, what are bettors waiting for? Obviously, 7. 7 is not just a take on the Cowboys, it's a take on the number, right? That key number of 7. So I think, will it get there? Very possibly, because the Eagles are getting a lot of support now, especially, with the quarterback matchup. So, but I think it's quite possible, Michael, that this game could go to 7. I think anybody looking for the Cowboys is waiting for that.
I have a question for you, and this is maybe a little selfish, but where are you with Arizona at Seattle? I'm sure Michael would agree. I don't know. I understand Arizona plays better on the road, but I don't know if they should be laying points to anybody right now. And they are Arizona at Seattle. What are they laying there at the South Point?
Yeah, Patrick, I think folks are agreeing with you so far. I did open the Cardinals as 3-point road favorites. Up in Seattle against the Seahawks. Game's down to 2.5. Game's being bet under, too. Remember, we've been talking about NFL totals hitting at a pretty good under clip. Of course, a lot, some folks still tend to bet the overs, and particularly in certain spots. But this one right now, money showing for the Seahawks. Again, probably a take on the number, more so than the Seahawks. But although they've been a surprise, let's face it, I think when you look at their record, not that they're lighting it up, but I think they're better than folks thought they would be going into the season. All about the Seahawks right now and the under on this game, sitting at 2.5 with Cardinals as 2.5 road favorites, and the total at 50.5, down just about a couple of points, 1.5 to 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you'd have told me Geno Smith was going to play as well as he played, I would have said you're crazy, and he really has. And this Cardinal defense has kind of kept them in these games the last couple of weeks, Carolina and Philadelphia, although mm-hmm. they lost to Philly. I'm waiting for Arizona to make an explosive play. If they can't make explosive plays against this Seattle defense, I have no idea when they're going to do it. You know, and so this will be a challenging game. I think Seattle will move the football like they did against the Saints last week. It's can Seattle stop anybody? And you would think playing at home, it should help them. But I don't know. I could see in my notes, Patrick, I have Seattle. I have Arizona as the favorite. I have the line exactly where Vinny has it. To me, I'm scared of this game. It's one of those goes either way. I don't know if I feel comfortable enough taking the points with the home dog as bad as Seattle's defense is.
I meant to tell you, because I texted you when they went for it, the Raiders on fourth and short. Or no, it's actually fourth and considerable there in Kansas City and threw the bomb to Davante Adams. I was fired up. I'm way too invested in that Raider team, Michael Lombardi, because of your son.
Me too.
He's a great guy. Vinny, I want to ask you, you know, that was a really tough loss for the Raiders. They played well, but it makes the season an uphill climb. Have you noticed a fan base kind of building there as far as the Raiders in Las Vegas? There's always been one, but what's your take on that?
Yeah, no question, Patrick. I mean, there's definitely a regional bias for the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders have always been a popular team here in Las Vegas, no matter whether they were in Oakland or Los Angeles. Their fan base travels extremely well. And so now that they're here, not only do we have the locals who support them, but the folks from Southern California and the Bay Area still come and support the Raiders.
We are going to see something we haven't seen in college football since 1993. We'll get to that next with Vinny. That's for you, John Goulet.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, we discussed it with Vinny. The NASCAR playoffs are in full swing, and guess what's coming up this weekend? The South Point 400, October 14th through the 16th at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Our very own Brent Musburger is going to be the Grand Marshal, and Brent is going to broadcast Countdown to Kickoff live from the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. That's pretty damn cool. Go to southpointcasino.com for more information. And don't forget, our guest right now, as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi there, I'm Patrick Maher, is Hall of Famer Vinny Maliulo. And tomorrow morning, everybody knows that Vinny is a NASCAR expert. And tomorrow morning, he's going to be handing out, right? What time are you going to be at the track tomorrow, Vin?
10:45, giving away free tickets. But not admission tickets, free bets. I have a little interaction with the crowd at the midway at the South Point booth. I think the Clydesdales are going to be out there as well. So not that I'm not going to be on them. So don't get any ideas, Maher, that I'm going to be. You know, there's going to be pictures with me.
Yes. Well, listen. You're a lot of things. I've never mistaken you for John Wayne. Okay. I don't think of you as a cow.
The Calabrese cowboy. That's what he is. Yeah.
That's right. I was on a. Listen, when I say I'm on a horse, I have a betting ticket in my hand. There's a horse with a saddle cloth. Trust me.
Undefeated matchups week 7 in college football. We haven't had three like this in week 7 since 1993. We've got an undefeated Alabama team taking on Tennessee. You got Penn State and Michigan. You've got Oklahoma State and TCU. We haven't seen this since 1993. It's going to be an awesome weekend. Of course, we're going to be here on the Lombardi Line live tomorrow morning covering all of it. Let's start with Alabama-Tennessee, Vin. Where are you sitting with that number?
Right now, Alabama is trending upward. Get as high as 8. We open at 7.5. Now, of course, you know, you've got a situation here with the quarterback, you know, with Bryce Young status now being reported as a game time decision. So I think what you're going to see is Alabama money showing, anticipating that Bryce Young may play. With that, you're going to then see if he doesn't play, then it'll come back down. So people may be, you know, kind of hedging things right now, looking at it and saying, well, if Young plays, there's obviously a difference in this number, even on the road. Probably means at least 3 points. But Tennessee, solid, did open at 7.5. And this was one of our games of the year also. I always like to, you know, compare games of the year that we put up last May here at the South Point. Something that Chrissy Andrews and we started about 4 years ago, and did use this game 7, and they took the points. They took 7 and 6.5 and it went to 6. But right now, trending upward, as is the total, up to 65.5, up slightly.
Vinny, that's remarkable. So this summer, you and Chrissy Andrews, you set the number at 7 without even looking at how these two teams played, and you were, what, just a half a point off the number by the time it was done? That's somewhat remarkable, especially considering how good Tennessee has looked this year. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And you know, like, the one thing I think that gets lost a little bit is, I know Alabama hasn't looked as explosive offensively, but when you compare the numbers, Alabama can match them point for point in terms of explosiveness, points per play, and points per yard. So, you know, as much as we think Tennessee's a seed lead offense, the Alabama can do it if Bryce Young plays.
No question, Michael. And I thank you. I mean, you know, the thing about the challenge, by the way, with the games of the year, putting them up that early, particularly in May, especially in the last couple of years, has been the transfer portal. Because transfer portal, you know, we all know about the recruiting classes and, you know, returning starters in particular. But the transfer portal was still, you know, pretty active at that time. And, of course, you're comparing your numbers, our numbers in this case here at South Point, with a very respected professional bettors. So they're doing the same exercise. But this one was close. Some of them, they ran pretty good, but this one, just right in line to where we had it back in May.
Vinny, need I remind you, Michael Lombardi just complimented you. There's no reason to continue to pat yourself on the back. He complimented you.
And I said thank you. Would somebody turn his ear. Can somebody turn the sound on for him?
No. We joke all the time. It is what you guys do in
incredible.
May. And it, to be that sharp is really insane. You must have done this before. By the way, BetMGM is reporting the most bet team, and as far as tickets and handle, is Tennessee catching 7 over at BetMGM. How about Penn State, Michigan, Vin? What do you got on this number at the Big House?
Holding steady, guys, with Michigan as a 7-point favorite here. This total actually trending down by a point, now sitting at 50.5, but opened at 7 on Monday morning. That's where it sits. Two-way action on this one, going back to the games of the year. And the reason I bring up games of the year, too, despite what Maher thinks that I'm showboating, it's people oftentimes ask us, you know, and they say, what did you guys do? Was it a game of the year? And of course, these matchups that we just mentioned have been. They did bet Michigan from 7 to 8.5. And I would say that both of these teams are a little bit of a surprise. I don't, you know, maybe not Michigan as much, but Penn State to some folks. But this one holding steady as a 7-point favorite. So Wolverines favored by 7.
I think it's a big game for McCarthy. I mean, he's got to play the pass percentage, you know, completions. I mean, he's got to really do, to me, if he plays at a higher level, I think they cover, you know, and I think that's always been my concern about Penn State with Clifford. Can he do that? Because this Michigan defense, you know, they only give up 3.7 yards per play. They give up 0.68 in points per play, which is fairly remarkable. Penn State's good in that area too, but to me, I think this is really going to come down to McCarthy. Can he make the plays? I think that's why they're a 7-point favorite in the game. And one thing about Michigan, to me, when I watch Michigan guys, I think they wear you down into the fourth quarter. I think that's where they get the advantage in the game. They did it against Iowa last week. They've done it before.
Yep. Yeah, that's really well put. They did not play well in the first half against Iowa, but attrition there in the second half. Vinny, you pointed out astutely, Penn State may be a surprise. Oklahoma State, okay, maybe not so much. But TCU and Sonny Dykes, certainly. Two undefeated teams there. TCU is laying a price. What are they laying?
4. Here's another game that's holding steady, our guys, at 4 right now. TCU, 4-point favorites on the opener, sitting at 4 right now. This total is also holding pretty steady. I think what we may see this one with the propensity of these two teams. You may see, you know, I think the public in particular is going to be enamored with points in this game. But, you know, I have to tell you, the Big 12's been a bit of a surprise this year. I don't think it's really a shock about Oklahoma because of the how much transition there was there. I think the biggest shock about Oklahoma in the Big 12 is how many points they're giving up, especially with Venables going there, you know, the defensive guru that he was at Clemson. But let's face it, this Big 12 has been pretty entertaining. I mean, look at Kansas, what they've done this year. They're a big surprise. But the fact that these two teams are now vying for the top spot in the conference, I think, says quite a bit. And this should be a very popular game, positioned nicely at 12:30 Pacific.
I thought last week that Oklahoma State was going to lose to Tech, and they rallied back. Their defense made some critical plays down the stretch. But this TCU team is really explosive offensively, and they can throw it really effectively. I mean, they average 7.7 yards per play, which is remarkable. And their defense is better than I thought, especially at the end of the game when they handled Kansas. I mean, Sonny Dykes got this program going at TCU. I don't know how much Gary Patterson left for him there, but it seems like they're trending in the right direction. I think it's going to be a hard game for Oklahoma State.
I agree. That's weird. Oklahoma State, they're completely the antithesis of last year. They can't defend this year, but they can score. Last year, they were all about defense. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Patrick, before we go, I want to ask Vinny a historical question since he's our Hall of Fame expert. How far back would you have to go to say that Kansas was under a 10-point dog to Oklahoma?
Let's see. Maher is only 39, so I don't even know if he was I don't know if he was born yet, to be honest.
It'd have to be that Orange Bowl team in 1968 or something. I can't imagine.
I can tell you this. I don't recall, in all seriousness, I don't recall this number for this matchup. I've been in this this is my career now, in my 45th year. This I don't know if I've seen it, to be honest with you, Michael. That's a great
question. I had to look at it twice, and I mean I feel like almost Kansas should be the favorite here, right?
Well, you know, you just if you look at the records and you look at the performance, here's a big psychological aspect of this game. What is Kansas? You know, they came back last week and they lost the game at the end, right on an incomplete pass. So you wonder emotionally if that comes into play.
Vinny, you see what I'm doing here? I'm bowing to you. You are a Hall of Famer. And by the way, I like your license plate.
Always
you got the Hall of Fame license plate. That's the rumor. Vinny Magliulo, there he is. Quarterback questions, four of them for Michael next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the VSiN NBA betting guide is out. Season prep for all 30 teams. Playoff title predictions from VSiN experts, including JVT, best bets for MVP player awards, five betting tips for beginning NBA bettors. Very important. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get the guide. Remember, you got to become a VSiN Pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. To become a VSiN Pro. Michael Lombardi, just quickly here, remember, you were just talking about Kansas, just one loss on the year, 19th ranked. They head to Oklahoma struggling, and Oklahoma is laying 8.5, 9. Now, the reason for the big number is, of course, Jalen Daniels looks like the star quarterback for Kansas is going to be out. Now, they do have Jason Bean, who started 9 games for Kansas last year, so some familiarity at quarterback, but that's really the reason for this number. Now, Oklahoma would have been favored, but it wouldn't have been 8.5, 9 if Jalen Daniels was going to be in there for Kansas.
But I'm telling you, I didn't think Bean was that bad. You know, he's a transfer from North Texas State. I thought he came in and played pretty well. Threw the ball, you know, has great arm, can run a little bit. He missed a throw that probably cost him the game, but to me, I love what Leopold's offense does. I love how he maneuvers it around. I mean, look, I think Daniels obviously is the better player, but I didn't think Bean was that bad. I thought Bean could really lead them in there, and I wouldn't. To me, I think this is an adjustment to the number that may be a little bit too much.
Now, as to when's the last time Kansas has beaten Oklahoma, Oklahoma has won 17 in a row in the series. The last win for Kansas v. Oklahoma came in 1997 in Lawrence, Kansas. So that is the last time. So 17 in a row for Oklahoma. And Venables, it's funny. when you are known as one thing, and he's known as a defensive coordinator, obviously, and a mastermind, when that part of your team struggles, when you become the head coach, that's how you're judged. You know what I mean? Like, if his offense, if his defense was just off the charts and his offense struggled, you could understand that, but it's right. not that way.
Yeah, they just, to me, and I don't know where it all comes and goes from, because, you know, that they had so many transfers. They lost it. Like, he reshaped the team. So I don't know what he has. I think a lot's going to be determined by what he did recruiting and what this team's going to look like next year. There's no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Okay, so I teased there are four questions that I need answers to as far as the quarterback play is concerned. And I had this written in my notes for yesterday as well. So let's get to these. One, we know Miami is going to start the rookie. Okay, so that's Skylar Thompson is going to start Minnesota at Miami. This number right now, Minnesota 3. Do you have thoughts just to start here with Thompson starting under center for the Dolphins?
I think this is fascinating. I was going to ask Vinny about this game. We ran out of time. This game was 3.5 most of the week. And since when the quarterbacks were announced that neither Bridgewater or Tua would play, the line moved the other direction. You know, now Thompson had a good preseason this year. I mean, he had a good preseason. I think they were mildly surprised about how well he played. I think that, you know, they feel like now with a week of practice, I mean, because remember last week, I think what people don't realize is when you're a young quarterback like Bailey Zappi when he went into the Green Bay game, or this kid when he came into the the Jet game, there was really no reps. You're going to get some, but when you're a young player, you need all the reps. And look, he was really good this summer. He averaged 9.4 per attempt. He completed over 75% of his passes this summer, right? You know, he threw 5 touchdowns. I mean, he's got some real ability. And he showed it. And they say Tyreek Hill's going to play, which to me is critical. And the Minnesota defense, Patrick, to me, I think that the vulnerability is in their secondary. And this is a game Miami's got to put pressure on Cousins, heat it up a little bit with him. But this Minnesota 4-1 team, there's lapses where you can get back into it. I think that's why that line moved to 3. You know, in the contest, again, as a point of reference, I think in the contest it stayed 3.5. So you're getting the worst of the number if you like the Miami Dolphins right now.
That's correct. And you said it perfectly. On Wednesday, every shop was Minnesota 3.5. It's crystallized that Thompson's going to be the starter, and it went back down to that key number of 3. I think that's really good that you pointed that out. Now, let's remember one thing about Skylar Thompson. I think he started like 40 games at Kansas State. It's not somebody that doesn't – now, it's a different level. We get that. But it's somebody that has a lot of experience as a starting quarterback.
And he took all the reps this week, right? So he took all the reps. And we know he can move a little bit. You know, we know he can run a little bit. And McDaniels has had a week to prepare him for what he needs to do offensively. So, look, do I think he's going to come out and be the next coming of Dan Marino? No, but I don't think they're going to take that much of a walk back, at least with him having the full week and Tyreek Hill being on the field.
I'm going to your line of the week, which you can find in the Lombardi Look Ahead, Beeson Pros can go check that out. It's an awesome article. Top 5, bottom 5 quarterbacks, teams, power rankings, matchup of the week as far as coordinators. My line of the week, and Steven and I were talking about confirmation bias, Michael. So let me give you an example. Confirmation bias is essentially like innately you're always looking at the favorites. So the Rams, and most new bettors look at the Rams laying 10 and you try to add reasons why to bet the favorite. The favorite is generally what new bettors are going to bet. The Rams are laying 10. Carolina's got an upgrade at quarterback. I think the Rams are in a bad way here. I don't think they should be laying 10 as you and I discussed to anybody.
Well, I mean, it's one of the lowest bet. You know, every day we look at the splits, right? Of all the tickets, and this game's got 26,000 tickets written up on it so far. And, you know, it's only Friday afternoon. 7% of the money, just 7% of the money is on the Rams. Nobody's betting the Rams. There's tickets on the Rams, but there's no cash on the Rams. That's significant. This Ram team Everybody thinks they're just going to turn it around. And maybe they'll play better and Carolina will turn the ball over. But for Carolina to not cover this, Carolina's going to have to turn the ball over. Carolina's going to have to blow cover. Carolina's got to play really badly, because I don't believe this at all, that the Rams are 10 points better than any team in the league. And I'll tell you, even I'll go one step further. My line on this game was 5.81.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I love the Panthers. And there's always, again, I know I repeat myself, but that interim head coach first game, there's always some juice to it. And frankly, Michael, this is an upgrade at quarterback. Sorry. Yeah,
anything's an upgrade.
Is.
I'm sorry. Anything's an upgrade. Like, he can't complete a pass. We don't. This is one of the few years that I have really – it's because, as you said earlier in the show, we're so used to 75% completions, you know, 68, you know. Like, when the ball's not completed, we're like, oh, my God, that's a shocker, yeah. Right? But this year, we're seeing, like, ridiculously – I mean, Baker Mayfield averaged 16 completions per game. I mean, Fields average is just slightly over 10 per game. I mean, I'm giving you. I mean, that's it. Carson Wentz. It's unbelievable how bad the completion percentage is.
What's also interesting is I'm looking at DraftKings, and yesterday DraftKings dipped down to the Rams lane 9.5. Your numbers were perfect. DraftKings is reporting that 93% of the money is on Carolina, just 7% of the money on the Rams, yet DraftKings went back up this morning to the Rams laying 10. Something that is so weird. That is wild.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, I mean, it's a reverse line move, but I'm not reading anything into that. I mean, I'm really not, because to me, I don't see that as a significant. I think this is on paper. I'm going to go by what I see, the evidence that I've seen in the games. Carolina can play good defense. Now, they changed defensive coordinators too, which now Steve Wilks, as a head coach, he's got, you know, another defensive coordinator in, and Al will do it. So I think ultimately, I think they'll be a little bit more aggressive. I think the concern you have here, if you're going to bet Carolina, is check J.C. Horn. Is he playing? They have three corners that are questionable going in this game.
That's a good point. What I like about the matchup for Carolina is, you've talked about, that's a good defensive front. The issue with the Rams, Stafford is getting killed.
Killed.
Like, that offensive
and turning the ball over
style.
And turning the ball over at a rapid rate. And that's the big issue. And so this is going to be a game. If Carolina just goes out there like they did 2 years ago when they played Arizona, and they just go out there and don't make a mistake, they can win the game. They can win the game. I mean, the Rams are not – if they double cup, forget what corners are playing. If they double cup and take him out of the game or make it hard for him to be in the game, they're going to have a chance. Al Holcomb, the new defensive coordinator, he can attack them. He's got blitzes that he can attack them. I would be surprised if they didn't play good defensively.
Yeah, it sounds like lunacy. And again, a bit of a limb here. I think Carolina legitimately has a chance to win this game straight up. And I'm getting 10 points. I'm getting doubles. So,
yep.
Again, I
would not be surprised in the contest on Sunday morning if this wasn't one of the most bet games.
What's Carolina. The contest number on this?
Contest number is 10.
It's like glowing on my screen. And you can find your splits. Become a VSiN Pro, VSiN.com/subscribe. But my screen is glowing. 10 doubles with the Rams? In what world? Coming up next.
The other game we got to talk about is Tampa Bucks, because that's another interesting number.
Okay, you teased it. We get to it next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, I tell you every day, you get credits. And you can use those credits for free bets. If you're headed to Vegas, MGM Properties, use it for dining, shows, hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts. Again, loyalty program like none other in the industry. It's BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, 21 years or older. And if you have a gambling problem, it is 1-800-GAMBLER. I, I just have a special request. Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you're having a nice Friday. Do me a favor, and this is for you, Michael. And, you know, I generally would never get terse with you, but don't ever send me another video of dudes looking like Charlie Chaplin on top of the Empire State Building without wires. And
it's
so
scary.
I went into a deep, dark hole last night. Could you explain to people what you sent me? Because I was watching these videos of these dudes, and I was getting like sweaty palms and an upset stomach.
Oh, if you've ever watched the documentary Walking on the Wire about the guy who basically took a, I don't know how he did it. It was in the 70s, a different world, right? And he took a steel wire and put it across the World Trade Center, two World Trade Towers, and then walked across it. He got arrested for it, but he walked across it. He survived. But so this is similar with no, these guys are up there building skyscrapers and they're working on planks with no ropes on them, and there's the wind is coming. I mean, I get scary just thinking about it. I mean, like I don't mind being in airplanes. That height doesn't bother me, but boy, it bothers me if I have to look out. Like when I'm at Circa, and you know, and they give you a room that faces the stadium swim, and you, oh my God, I can't even look down, and I'm inside. These guys are up there on there with no ropes or anything.
It's really. It got my head last night. Okay, that's just some house cleaning before we get on to the game. You mentioned, oh, by the way, did you see Tom Brady was fined like $11,000 for his kick on Grady? Yeah. I hope he could afford that.
Yeah,
we'll have to liquidate.
Do a GoFundMe account. We'll do some GoFundMe account for him, see if, how that
actually,
works
based on what's happening in his life right now, we shouldn't joke about finances. Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh. So your boy Kenny Pickett, it's going to be a long season.
Right.
This number is sitting 8.5, 9 on the board. Most shops open like right around 8, Michael. This was a game you picked out in particular. Would you like to jump on this one?
Well, the reason I picked it out was because it went right to, it opened up at 8.5. It's kind of been 8.5 for a while. I mean, it opened at eight and then it shot to 9. And now at Circa, it's 9. DraftKings here in Jersey, it's 8.5, and so the Westgate's at 8.5. So it's kind of fluctuated between the 8.5 and 9, and it jumped up that 1 point. And I don't think it has anything to do with injury. I think it has everything to do with maybe the Bucks will get some of their receivers back. But I think the reason I wanted to point this game out is because I wrote about this, is there's no magic that Mike Tomlin has as a. I think Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Fame coach. I think he's tremendous, but this team's just not very good. And I don't know how he's going to be able, with Kenny Pickett and Todd Bowles, how that's all going to work out. It's a tough matchup for Pickett to go against a guy that really understands how to handle a rookie quarterback, how to rush him. I know they're playing at home, and it's a lot of points, and the Bucs didn't cover last week at home in a giant spread like this. But to me, I think that was a message where the Bucs say, okay, we can't let this happen. We're not going to give up 15 points in the fourth quarter ever again, and they try to take it over.
This is admittedly completely unfair. So I preface that by saying completely unfair. I see Pickett as a 10-12 year starter, middle of the road. I don't see special. And again,
I think that's right.
Not fair. Totally not fair to judge him.
To me, it's like I wrote today. Like when I watch Justin Fields, like I never think he's going to be a top 20 player. Does that mean he's out of the league? I don't know. I mean, I never thought Mitchell Trubisky was going to be a top 20 player. I didn't think Jalen Hurts could be a top 20 player. One thing about, you know, when you use the comparison of Josh Allen, I never doubted Josh Allen could be a top 20 player. I had doubts he was going to be a blue chip player. I had doubt that accuracy. He was always going to play in the league for me. It was how well his accuracy was going to prohibit him from being that type of player. That to me was the bigger issue.
It's just weird. It's also maybe a weird fit for me. Because I know you've said Pickett's arm strength is enough, and I agree. It's not overwhelming. You got to drive the ball through that wind. I don't know. There's just something. There's something kind of.
I think your point's really well taken. He's like a lot of guys, Patrick. You have to build the team around him and make them better. Because the one thing Pickett can do, he has timing and he has anticipation. Those are hard things to coach. We're seeing that a lot of other guys. He does have that. Skylar Thompson has that too. Right, Skylar Thompson has that. P.J. Walker actually has that too. So at least that's a starting point. When you're like Justin Fields and you don't really have timing and anticipation and the willingness to throw it in, that's a hard, hard offense to construct and overcome.
Okay. Part of the Lombardi look at every Friday is the top five and bottom five quarterbacks. I won't tell you where this next gentleman is in the top five, but I can guarantee you there isn't one person, expert, casual fan, that had Geno Smith in the Lombardi line, in the Lombardi look ahead top five. Geno Smith is playing insanely good football. He's completing over 75% of his passes. He's not throwing picks. He's got nine touchdowns. He's really been – his even the extended numbers are insane.
You can't deny it. I mean, you can't overlook it. You know, the reason I changed – like, typically the first couple weeks of the season, I kept my blue chips – at least my blue chips in place. You know, I kept Brady and Rodgers and Herbert and all those guys. And now that we have five and six games to really take a look at, five games specifically, now you've got to make some adjustments because it's no longer just a game. It's a consistency. And Geno has played really well. I mean, he has done everything you've asked him to do. Look, if he gets any help at all with his defense, he's going to win two more games. I mean, they just can't make any plays defensively. But when you break him down, and if I were to tell you that the offense was vastly improved with Geno over Russell, you would laugh at me. But, you know, they've thrown the ball really well. 308 yards against Atlanta, 320 against Detroit. Not that they're a great team. Last week against a really good defense, New Orleans, 245. They haven't turned the ball over as much. He's had one turnover each in the last 3 weeks. But that they have been really effective, and they put points on the board. You cannot deny that they put points. I mean, the 49er game is a 20-7. It kind of got away from a little bit, but look, the Niners are really good too.
Geno's going to be your starter moving forward. It's going to be impossible for Carroll and Schneider to get off of him after this year if he continues to play this way.
Right, and I think the only thing that's keeping him, holding him back, is he's been really good on third down. They're the third best third down team in football. Now, where they stall is in the red zone. They stall in the red zone. They're 31st. As many points as they've scored, Patrick, they haven't been able to get the ball in the end zone in terms of red zone touchdowns, percentage of touchdowns. So that's a concern. But he's playing behind two rookie tackles. I mean, that I thought going on the road in New Orleans would be really problematic. But, I mean, you know, in terms of points, seventh in the league, yards, eighth in the league. You know, they're the number one yards per attempt rushing team in the league. They're the number three yards per attempt passing team in the league. All the people that were complaining about Shane Waldron last year to let Russ cook, where are they now? The only guy cooking, the guy who stole the chef jacket, was Geno.
And juxtapose the third down success for the Seahawks with the fact that the Commanders, we come full circle. The Commanders in their last two football games are 3-for-22 on third down. I'm sorry, that's systemic. That's offensive coordinator. That's quarterback. Like, that goes deep to be that poor.
Yeah, I mean, that's
money
just
down.
Not. You're not well designed. You're not well coached. Your players. When you start dropping as many balls as Curtis Samuels dropped, and you know, and all that, it's a problem. And you know, and look, there's one thing, it's a totally bad effort by all three. And if you don't acknowledge that, if you don't acknowledge it, then you're wrong. That's not saying that they can't coach. It's just saying, look, we're not well coached right now. We have to improve. You know, I know Vera said, oh, everybody's playing hard. You know, that's like saying a carpenter brings his hammer to work. Everybody plays hard. Like, seriously.
Speaking of work, this is exciting. I'm going to give you some breaking news. My Friday is going to be lit. Because DraftKings just sent me an email, compliance training.
I think I did mine.
Somebody get BJ on the phone because I can't log in. That's an inside joke for the control room.
I think I did mine. I think I've done that already.
I guarantee you're going to get one. Another one that says, our records indicate that you, you have not. Anyway, what are you doing this Friday, Michael?
Oh, I think we're just have a little barbecue out front, watch a little college games. It's going to be a beautiful fall day. Get a weather game going. Get some, you know, outdoor. Enjoy the fire. Enjoy the fall. Nothing better.
Well, make sure you get up early and ready to go. You're going to be at the Borgata tomorrow. We've got an awesome week 7 in college football. I can't wait for it tomorrow morning.
I can't wait either, Patrick. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to watch that Tennessee-Alabama game outside. There's no doubt.
And I can't wait for Big Bets with Dave and Amal. That's coming up next. We will see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line. Remember, the look ahead, it's a great article. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe.
Thanks, Patrick.
Michael, I'll see you tomorrow. Okay.
Thank you,
Stephen and the crew back at Circa as well.